Welcome to Cybersecurity Where You Are, the Center for Internet Security's podcast. I'm Sean Atkinson, CISO at CIS.
And I'm Tony Sager, Senior Vice President and Chief Evangelist at CIS. Cybersecurity affects us all, whether we're online at home, managing a company, supporting clients, or running a state or local government.
So join us on Wednesdays as we discuss trends and threats, explore security best practices, and interview experts in the industry.
Together, we'll clarify these issues, creating confidence in the connected world.
Hello and welcome to the show. This is Sean Atkinson here at RSA 2025. Now we're talking with Stephanie Guest. Stephanie, how
Hi.
Are you?
I'm doing well, Sean. How are you?
You just did a talk. What was that talk on?
So the talk was on the policy pyramid to implementation, understanding how your organization can start policy creation and make it actually effective through implementation processes. So we really kind of dove into what a policy pyramid should look like, you know, with your policy level at is really what governs you. Then you have your standards, what are your crown jewels, and then your processes, procedures, and guidelines are really defining, you know, your people and your processes.
Absolutely. Now we form that into the people, process, technology piece, and here at CIS we're, you know, trying to promote not only the controls but the implementation of technology to the benchmark level. We're governing, or you are, and your team are auditing, governing those processes. And we really see now an integration of our products. So the controls, the benchmarks, all aligned to mapping standards. You know, we're following ISO 27000, SOC 2, SOC for cybersecurity. How easy is that, or that transition been for you over the last few years as we've attempted this? And hopefully we're getting in easier, but it's not been as easy as we would have liked, but we've taken those lessons and we brought it to the company.
Yeah, as we've gone through this, there's been several iterations. I think each time we look through it on an annual basis, really we're improving it. We're looking at what went well the past year, what went bad, yep. And we've kind of adjusted the way we've approached things. So this year, for example, we're leveraging AI to help with some of the mappings, just to see where we're missing gaps in our mind. Like from us, when we're looking at it, does AI see something different and are we missing something? So we're leveraging that right now. In addition to that, we've kind of picked security champions in the various business units to kind of help foster that security culture.
Absolutely. A lot of has to go to Thomas Sager, who's been doing a lot of work in the mapping space. So great work to him and the controls team. And I was talking with a charity yesterday, and we're moving towards the controls version 9, so very much looking forward to that. And so final question, Stephanie, what else are you looking forward to here at RSA 2025?
Probably checking out the swag. I haven't had a chance to walk the expo yet, so I'm looking forward to doing that later today and seeing what fun swag everybody has.
Wonderful. We'll have socks for a year. Fantastic.
Exactly.
Thank you so much, Stephanie.
Thank you, Sean.
And with that, we'll be right back after this quick break.
Most organizations want to streamline their cybersecurity and compliance efforts.
It's just not always easy to do so on your own.
That's where a CIS Secure Suite membership can help.
It provides benefits, tools, and resources designed to help you implement the CIS critical security controls and CIS benchmarks.
Secure Suite can help you strengthen your cyber defenses, comply with common standards, and cybersecurity frameworks, all while saving you time, money, and effort.
Apply for membership today by visiting cisecurity.org.
Start secure and stay secure with CIS Secure Suite.
Thank you, and let's jump back into the episode. Hello, welcome back. This is Sean Atkinson at RSA 2025. Sir, your name and where do you work?
Hey, my name is Brad Bach. I'm a director of product management at ChainGuard.
Fantastic. Now, what's ChainGuard? What do you do? What type of services are you providing?
So ChainGuard, we strive to be the safe source for open source. So we are packaging now almost 1,400 different open source container images. And we're building and compiling everything in those images from the ground up. We have our own Linux distribution. There's an open source version, Wolfie, and our commercial version, ChainGuard OS. And because we have control over all of the libraries and our own package manager, we're able to keep everything in those images up to date, and we build them in a very minimal way that results in there being like zero CVEs in the customer's scans when they're running.
Fantastic. That's, now, one of the things, and obviously this is now really focused on a niche in the market, a much needed service. How are the customers responding to the work that you're doing and really stay secure, start secure, really, in this case?
Yeah, they're loving it because it solves a big problem. Like if you're the CISO and you're seeing it's so easy to get software, prepackaged software in Docker containers, or you know, you've got developers that are pulling Helm charts from different places. And you know, over time, it becomes more and more difficult to ensure that none of that content is coming from a place where it might have had a malicious actor, you know, adding a backdoor into that, and then you know, publishing an otherwise useful application right next to with the backdoor right next to the official version. It becomes very easy to get confused about, you know, which software you can trust.
Absolutely. And it's all about trust in this day and age. Now, one of the things that you'll be really starting to assess, I think, with the customer base is one, utility, compliance, and building out an infrastructure that fits many different needs. How are you responding to that?
So, you know, our founders were some of the co-creators of SigStore, one of the co-creators of Kubernetes, the author of like the Salsa framework for secure software supply chain. So we have a lot of expertise in that area, and we know we're kind of delivering everything signed with attestations, software bills of material, all the things you need to do to know, well, really to comply with, you know, a lot of different security frameworks. And we can shorten one like really, you know, use case we've been successful with is helping customers with this, the vulnerability remediation part of getting FedRAMP, for example. Yeah, so we can collapse that process down from months into weeks.
Absolutely, yeah, short in time, and it's already secured and in place. Where can people find out more about you, your organization?
We're online, obviously, at chainguard.dev. Yep, and you can, you know, if you want to try out, we have a subset of our container images library. You can find it on Docker Hub. So if you do a search for ChainGuard, you'll see our, you know, our images, the latest versions there, with zero CVEs.
Wonderful. Brad, thank you so much. Great to see you.
Yes.
And continue the great work. Yep. ChainGuard.dev. Thank you so much. Hello, welcome to the show. This is Sean Atkinson live at RSA. Sir, your name and the company you belong to.
Stéphane Auger from Equipe Microfix, or in English, Team Microfix.
Wonderful. Now, what do you do? What type of services? What type of product?
We're a managed service provider, but also a managed security service provider. So we consult with other businesses to offer them security services.
Fantastic. Now, in that space, what do you see as being some of the biggest problems that need to be solved that we're necessarily either struggling, but we're making progress. Any problems that you see in this space? Or too many to mention on a short podcast?
Yeah, there's a lot of answers to that, but I think the biggest problem right now is the lack of awareness, and because of that, lack of budget. So you want to bring them to a certain level, but they don't see they don't understand the risk.
Right, right. Now, trying to identify that risk and communicate it effectively has always been, I call it the CISO's pain necessarily, trying to communicate that up and sometimes even down in a way that's consumable by both parties, both at lower levels and at higher levels. Now, what strategies have you used in the past to either, one, get that communication to a point where ultimately your services can be procured and necessarily you can come in and they build a trust relationship with you and your organization. How have you found that working in the past?
Usually it's a combination of showing them examples of things that happened. So a lot of unfortunate events. In fact, the best customers I've had are people that have been hit with a cybersecurity incident and then they understand. Otherwise, I work a lot with referrals where I will use someone who has gone through it and bring them in as an example and say, look, this is what can happen. Here are the steps. And in fact, there are certain standards that exist that are based, in fact, on the CIS and that are used in Canada. And we can bring these out saying, look, even the Canadian government recommends a certain amount of standards that you should put in as a company, and since it, you know, backed by the government, it has more weight than just me saying that.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that adds elements of provenance necessarily to that. And the use case, the testimonials, it becomes a kind of a convincing function. The problem is we have to wait until we've been breached in order to learn the lesson necessarily or feel the pain. And then we want to remediate. I wish more would just be proactive and get to that point where not a matter of if, but when. I know we've used that before, but it's always a struggle. And we hear advocate, but it's not until you kind of feel the pain that you react.
The advantage, which is, I think, is a positive thing for us, is that more and more it comes out in the media. So people are starting to get very aware of it. And also, more and more businesses are going for cyber insurance. And they've started being extremely strict with their requirements. So I've had a customer that had no cybersecurity at all. So far he had a cyber risk insurance. And 2 months ago, they received a letter from their insurer saying that they would not even renew their insurance until they would put in certain controls in place. So you know what? That's a good thing.
That's a great thing. Where can people find out more about you and your organization?
Sure. Well, www.teammicrofix.com. We're based out of Montreal, Quebec, Canada. So we work a lot with the French and English markets. And otherwise, TeamMicrofix.com. That's the
TeamMicrofix.com. Sir, thank you so much.
Great to have you
on the show.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you. Enjoy the conference.
Thank you.
Sir, your name and your organization.
I am Brent Holt with Edge Solutions. I'm Director of Cybersecurity Technology over there.
Wonderful. What type of services products do you provide?
We do a lot around technologies. We have a lot in our portfolio from enterprise grade all the way down to startup and just came out of stealth mode. Across all areas of cybersecurity, and then we've got services that span offensive, real-time, what's going on with active attackers and ransomware.
Fantastic. You name it, you've got it. Edge Solutions has you. Now, when we're thinking about this conference and what we're the tone that's trying to be set, now I think we've changed from this fear, uncertainty, and doubt till there is solutions. But now it's so many different solutions. How do you manage or how do you see your way through that? And in your case, what's a differentiator? What was Edge Solutions provide?
So, I mean, we take a consultative approach to all the customers that we work with. We try to understand their business, where they're at in their journey, maturity, and all of that, and then come back with some recommendation of how they get from better to best or great, from gold to platinum. Part of that requires a framework, as you're aware.
I'm sure.
Framework being, like the CIS controls.
Yes.
We are very, very big fans of that because it helps. I was just showing a colleague, this is a roadmap for all of this other stuff. Like, you can take this around and go, where does it fall, right?
Exactly.
Where is it within the controls? Because I think it's important to have a good foundation. You have to have a solid foundation to build on.
No question.
And CIS controls are absolutely necessary for that. All the organizations that we work with, we recommend that because it's digestible. It's not like ISO and NIST, which are great frameworks, but way too verbose for those that are trying to build maturity. This is a consumable way to build.
I love that feedback because one of the things that we've seen and we discuss and the reason why we built them the way they are is actionable, operationalizable capability, right? It's to go into operation, it's not to dictate and then you define your operational scope. It gives you an option. It gives you necessarily an ability to get to production much quicker in a way that necessarily can be consumed. So with that, that's the feedback we're looking for. That's the reason they're written the way they are. Now, with respect to your organization as well, so you're in, it's a constant barrage now of not only threat, but all of these new opportunities, right? We're down the AI path. I mean, if I've not heard it 10 times today, right now, it's at this conference. Does that confuse the situation or does it add, more tools to the utility belt? How do you work your way through that?
This is a complex business. This was a complex business 20 years ago. It is unbelievably complex as you look around the floor here at everybody who's offering all the different ways to solve the problems. When we try to determine, it's so important to know where someone is today. As we look at AI and how you're going to either, we break it down to three things. You got the GPTs out there, you got the co-pilots, and then you got the we're going to build something on our own, right? and how each organization is addressing those. You know, are they even aware of those? I mean, so I think as much hype as there is on the floor today, there's a lot of awareness. And I was educating, you know, one of the executives for one of the vendors on like what ChatGPT is and is capable of,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
I mean, we're still there,
right? Yeah.
So overall, where we're trying to go with all of these technologies, I think an idea that we've had is, can we map our portfolio of 100 plus technologies to the individual items in the framework? So can we take a control and say, hey, we have these solutions around this control that'll get you to IG1 or IG3, right? Immediately. And that way, you know, customers are able to kind of look at it and say, all right, if I invest now here, then I can go to IG3. If I want to, you know, kind of crawl, walk, run, all right, let me go ahead and just do this. So I think it's a great way to map out technology.
It is. And it's consumable. It's contextualized necessarily, because it's not, in some cases, you know, there's frameworks where it's kind of one size fits all, which is the complexity of our business will not allow that to be sustainable or even resilient, respectfully. So being able to do that customization and build, I think, fits to the kind of the Lego block analogy of building a capability over time. And really that foundation you mentioned, right? Without the solid base, you're not going to build anything.
Yeah, and this, I mean, cybersecurity is complex. I mean, this is as complex as it gets. It's 9D chess, right?
Exactly.
I mean, there's no yes. 4D in this anymore. Whether you're looking at, you know, the role of the CISO, what they're doing with the business side, and then the risk side, and physical security, and then everything else. I mean, it's an onslaught.
It is so. Constant onslaught.
Yes.
And it's, well, unfortunately, we've not solved it. That's what we're here to do, is try and be better every day. Where can people find out more about you and your organization?
Find us on edge-solutions.com. It's our website. We also have, obviously, presence on LinkedIn and soon to be Instagram if we're not already there.
Awesome.
That's my marketing team.
There you go.
They can hear that. Come
Big shout out. Fantastic. Fantastic.
They're awesome.
That's wonderful.
Awesome.
So
great.
Good to see you. Thank
Thanks,
you so
Sean.
Much. Appreciate your time.
Yep.
Thank you. Okay. Welcome to the show. This is Sean Atkinson here live at RSA. Michelle, how are you, sir?
I am very well, Sean. How are you?
Doing fantastic. How are you enjoying the show so far?
So far, it's been great. I've already gone to a couple of talks. Yesterday, I was able to go to one of our partners' talks that was at the Hilton Hotel. So that was Carasoft, which is really cool. Learned a lot about Zero Trust from their CEO. And here I am today.
Fantastic. Now, Michelle, you've been doing a lot of work investigating AI capabilities, utility within the organization representatively, and how it's helping you be more effective. How has that gone, and what are some of the insights that you've gained from really delving into the technology?
Absolutely. So a lot of the things that I've actually learned over the course of the year has come from my personal knowledge at school. So I'm at Boston University right now. A couple of cybersecurity professors there have given me direction, and it's enhanced my learning. So what I've been doing over the past year is looking at our customers and seeing how can I help them better. And then I realized maybe I can actually incorporate some of my learnings and my research. So I'm also looking at third-party, sources. I'm thinking Gartner, I'm thinking Harvard Business Review, compiling that research and sharing that with our customers, and how CIS can bridge those knowledge gaps.
Absolutely. And there is a huge gap and divide right now. So, you know, thought leaders like yourself learning, applying, making it work for you and for the organization is huge. And is really, when I'm thinking success of bringing in capability, one, really cutting edge in some of the work that you've been doing with agentic AI, and it's really cool what you even demonstrated it to the organization for a lunch and learn, which was fantastic. What is that now, where do you see us going next?
Yeah, so I started doing deploying a lot of AI agents, utilizing Copilot at work. So what I wanted to do is build on top of that success, and it's made me more efficient. I think that's the best word to say. And I want to have that cross-functional with other teams. So share AI agents share the knowledge and just get better at communicating at what we do and utilizing CIS's tool set. So that's where I think the next step will be. And then once we get everybody trained on that, not only can we be more efficient, but I think given the scope of what we do and such a global presence in security best practices, I think it's going to become vital as we go on and AI builds up that a lot of people within CIS can reach as many people as they can efficiently. And I think AI will allow us to, the key word is scale.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And react to, really, in some cases, we can react quicker. We can, one, understand trends and some of that work that you've been doing, and that hits and ultimately is leading us to success and leading us down a new path of, I'd say, foundational knowledge building for our, not only our organization, but sales strategy and also customer incentivized capability all through this work. And it's, I think it's transformative.
Absolutely. And I think it's also very important to know that, you know, even though I'm deep into AI, and I'm trying to be unequivocally clear here, is that that doesn't replace your own thought process.
Yes.
What you do is, what you put in is what you're going to get out. So focus on yourself, improving the quality of refining prompt engineering, and you can actually double that success by, you know, creating better content, whether that be for CIS in terms of research, working better with teams and your community, or utilizing it in a marketing perspective as well. I see a lot of, like, you know, things that CIS can do with AI.
Yeah, yeah. You've got the vision.
Yeah, thank you.
So, Michelle, what's happening in your personal life? I know that we last talk, and we always get a catch-up with you at the RSA each year. Fascinating work that you're doing. The boxing. There has been advancement in that space, right?
Correct, yes. So I am part of USA Boxing. So I continue to judge bouts, a lot of them within upstate New York. And on top of that, I've gotten a little more busy because I'm also pursuing my executive MBA at Boston University. Along with that, that has taken the majority of my life. And personally, I plan on traveling hopefully this summer.
Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. Any locations in mind?
Vietnam and Thailand.
Wow. Fantastic. Yeah. Michelle, cutting edge, doing everything right. It's absolutely great. Great, again, to have you on the show. Where can people find out more about you and the other work that you've been doing?
Great point. I think the best way is actually LinkedIn.
LinkedIn.
I'm quite active on LinkedIn, and I make sure that I check and I post. On top of that, you know, reach out to cloudsecurity@cisecurity.org is our inbox. That would filter through me. So that's another easy way to, it's a shameless plug.
Fantastic.
For people to reach out about what we do at CIS on a cloud security perspective.
Absolutely.
But personally, LinkedIn, you'll find me and I'll be happy to connect.
Wonderful. Michelle, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast today.
The thoughts and opinions expressed by our podcast guests are solely theirs and do not necessarily reflect those of CIS.
Tune in on Wednesdays for a new episode. And in the meantime, visit our website at cisecurity.org.
Together, we'll continue our efforts of creating confidence in the connected world.